Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Howdy, folks. It's good old JR Jim Ross, pro wrestling broadcaster and barbecue enthusiast, inviting you to join me every week for my podcast, The Ross Report, right here on Podcast One. Each week, I talk to the biggest stars in sports entertainment. We talk about the news of the day, MMA, wrestling, football, and much more. Recently, I've talked to such folks as Chris Jericho, Kane, Sonny, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, and Emmy winner Rory Carp. Download and listen to The Ross Report every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the brand new Podcast One app. And be sure, folks, to rate and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that story about you, don't we, Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there?
How you doing?
Doing good, man. Getting a little tacroversy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good Monday morning fodder.
I'm working on tacos. I got thoughts about tacos, man. My theory is, and I've worked it out, I've always had my suspicions, but I just confirmed them. Nobody likes chicken tacos. They all want steak. I hit everybody at the other shop, from the artsy fartsy editing side,
yeah,
to the blue collar honesty nuts and bolts of the guys who turn the wrenches,
yeah,
over there. From this side of the shop, we have all creeds, shapes, and sizes over here. Everyone prays to a different god. They all, except for Dylan,
Dylan?
For steak tacos. All steak number one, chicken not even second, third. It goes steak, pork, chicken.
I went to an engagement party. They had the taco guy in the backyard, and you had your three choices: steak, pork, and a chicken. Two steak, one pork, please.
Yeah, good call. I'll do everyone one better. My power rankings: steak, pork, fish, chicken. And I'm not even a big fish guy. It's just fish makes a better taco, a fish taco. I can take the fish taco and I can intersplice it. I might go steak, fish, or steak, pork, fish. Either way, fish is above it.
Nothing against the chicken. The chicken is a good plate somewhere, but not...
It's not the best taco.
I won't choose it.
Right.
That's right.
Right. I'm not going to buy it.
All right.
If it's a free buffet.
We didn't get into the hammer price of the Newman watch and all that's gone on. When do I get my car back from New York City?
Oh, you want it back?
I need my 935 back.
It's out of the showroom and it was back at the shop where the guy with the flatbed had it, you know, put the nose and stuff
but
back on.
Right now, there's a special needs kid sitting in it going, like sawing away at the wheel when it's not running.
Yeah, I don't think he's special needs.
He's just the guy
who drives the flatbed.
No, his kid's in there and he's sawing away at my wheel. I want that thing back. So I got a tweet over the weekend that said that, they featured the Newman watch in a CBS Morning. Whatever. My first impulse, I have two thoughts when people send me these things. Like, hey, Sunday morning, CBS, did you see it? 7 a.m. You know, I have two thoughts, which is, thank you for sending me this video clip. And the next one is, what a loser. What are you doing watching CBS at 7 a.m.?
So when I came in on Sunday and I saw you at like noon, and you're like, did you see the CBS thing this morning? I was like, this morning? And that was my thought too. I was like, I didn't see it this morning. You're like, no, somebody tweeted it. I was like, oh
yeah,
so did I see the tweet?
I will. So it's a cool thing. It shows the car, it shows the watch, it tells the story of the watch. It was like 4.5 minutes. I told Gary to whack it up into 3.5. It shows the security thing where if you reach for the watch, it goes down.
It's called the Raptor.
It's called the Raptor.
Yeah, Hublot, the watch company, made it.
And, oh, the Raptor.
And they borrowed it from them, and it's fantastic. You just, as soon as you get your hand close to the watch sucks down into this podium, which is like a vault,
the
really
Raptor.
Fast.
Let me say this. I do this thing where in the 60s, everything was Sonic Space Age, like in the 50s and 60s, yeah. Like Sonic Space Age Satellite. Yeah. Then when he got to like the 70s, it was all turbo this and turbo that.
Yeah.
Then in the 80s, it was all stealth.
Yes, stealth.
Stealth cars, stealth radar detectors, like stealth cologne. Like everything was like stealth. Since 2010, it's all been Raptor.
Raptor.
We have these weird, we're stupid, right? Like we pick a dinosaur from 2 billion years ago and it gets hot for like 10 minutes. Like, hey, it's named everything Raptor, everything. We're stupid, right? Okay. All right. I will play the clip. It works. You can go to carcastshow.com.
Yep, that's our site.
And check that out. But you can also just listen to it. It lays out the story of the watch. And then I want us to all guess.
This is an after the auction interview kind of recap.
You guys, I'm looking at my taco-loving team over there. What? Let's try to figure out what was given to the Newman charity. Because a portion.
I've looked. I've had no success thus far. I know you're vexed by this.
I asked Sylvester Stallone over the weekend. I literally said to him, I said, Sly, what percentage went to charity? He went, 1%. I was like, you really think? Well, yes, I do.
You watch this thing, you might think it's a much higher percentage. This guy is presenting himself in a light.
If it's 50%, I think you say it.
There's a press release for it if it's 50%.
Okay, right? I'm looking. As Stallone, as my good friend Sly said the other night, he just said, well, that's $170,000 more than they had before the watch was sold. And, like, I'm for that. Like, I never want to poo-poo that. But the problem was the watch was given to the guy. Like, the watch was free. And when someone gives it to you, it's much different than you even spending $20 on it. Because you spend $20, that's a return on investment. Have it for free, that's a little bit different.
We got to see if this is a real nonprofit and they report their financials as a nonprofit. You wait 6 months or 3 months or whatever, and you pull the report and you see how much was donated and see if there's a big lump sum in there. And
that'd be interesting. And look, I don't begrudge it. If it's 10%, it's $1.7 million or change or whatever.
Well, okay, but that's with the fees. I think it's based on Hammer.
Sorry.
So let's call it
Hammer.
15.
It's called 1.5 or whatever. Yeah. All right, here's a little story. You can hear a story about the watch and how it worked.
A little over a week ago, at the Phillips Auction House in New York City, a trove of 50 wristwatches was up for sale. But the star of the show, with its own special room and a high-tech security system,
Raptor,
was
a
certain Rolex. For decades, actor Paul Newman
wore... You know, it'd be funny. So there was a shot of the reporter, the cute reporter, going up to the box where the watch was being displayed, and she made a move to grab it and went away, and she went like, oh, darn, get next time. I'd like to see a scenario where she actually was successful, got the watch, and immediately two huge black dudes beat the shit out of her. Like, just fucking wearing uniforms with their sleeves rolled up just on top of her with batons out, like pepper spraying, and just beating the holy shit out of her. That'd be funny, right?
That's the Raptor.
That'd be funny. All right, sorry. Continue.
For decades, actor Paul Newman wore this Rolex Cosmograph
Pictures
Daytona.
Pictures of Newman in his fire suits.
Took up auto racing while filming the 1969 film Winning, in which he starred alongside his wife, Joanne Woodward. She gave her husband a watch to celebrate his new hobby, inscribed with a hidden message.
Here, beautifully engraved on the back, it reads, "Drive carefully, me."
So sweet.
Me being Joanne.
The Rolex Cosmograph Daytona wasn't a bestseller when it debuted in 1963, but worn on the wrist of Paul Newman, it became the epitome of cool. In fact, it became
Hold on, pause it there for a second.
That's a great photo.
The epitome cool is interesting because it was always Steve McQueen being the king of cool. And I always speculated that Newman was going to catch up to McQueen or pass McQueen. But this sort of king of cool, it was a weird thing because McQueen was always the king of cool. Like, that's how they yeah. always say it. It's weird that they just called him the epitome of cool. Like, they're somehow now they're taking this cool thing and they're building a bridge from Newman to they're building a bridge from
McQueen.
Newman to McQueen. It's funny. I showed this special to Lynette, and she went. So that guy who sold the watch got to keep all the money. I said, well, most of it. I said, but the bigger story is we own all the cars. And she went, yeah, okay.
But how much did he get? Yeah, but how much did he get?
We don't know. Oh. All right, sorry, keep rolling.
In fact, it became known as the Paul Newman watch. But after the star's death in 2008, the watch that started it all seemed to have vanished.
I was about 15 years old, and I was at a racetrack.
There's our car in the background.
James Cox, yeah. Who met Newman in the late 70s.
I loved cars and racing, and Paul was racing. I spotted Paul sitting after he had just gotten off the track with his car, and he just gestures for me to come under this barrier to get a better photo of the car.
The story takes another turn a few years later.
So he meets Paul before.
When at college, Cox met a girl named Nell Potts. But what he didn't know was that Nell Potts was a stage name. And only later, when they were dating, did he learn her real name, Nell Newman. He also got to know her father.
One summer, I offered to rebuild this treehouse that was kind of a classic feature on the family property. It ended up being just Paul and I. And I would work on the treehouse during the day, and he would often come over at the end of the night and just check on my progress. He comes over one day and he says, James, you know what time it is? And I'm like, no, I'm not wearing a watch. And he says, well, and he takes his Rolex off. He says, if you remember to wind this, it tells great time, and hands it to me. And then he proceeds to show me how to wind it and took a little time with me.
For years, Cox wore the watch, even after he and Nell Newman broke up. Until he discovered the Rolex had taken on a legendary life of its own, which is why he decided to sell the watch, in part to benefit the charitable foundation of his lifelong friend, Nell Newman.
And I have a commission bid at $1 million.
Days ago, buyers from around the world got their chance to bid on the Paul Newman watch.
13 million. 14 million 600,000. 15 million.
Final price, $17.8 million.
It is history now!
The highest price ever paid for a watch at auction.
I guess he was sitting next to Nell for
they were there.
For the event.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to figure out. Look, it's all gravy, but boy, according to my calculations, he just put $10 million in his pocket. God bless him.
Yeah.
Look, it's not quite the same thing, but many years ago, my uncle Vince, Bruno, they gave me a decorative popcorn tin.
Yeah, how's that?
Well, it had cheese, had the caramel, and then just the regular butter.
Yeah.
So,
One of those is the chicken taco of a popcorn?
The chicken is, I think, the regular. I think you got to go caramel, cheesy popcorn. Yeah. But I'm saying there are many things of value handed down from family to family. And I still have that popcorn tin and I cherish it. And I don't know what it's worth.
No,
probably not as much. Probably not as much as the watch.
We could take it to auction.
My dad gave me,
nothing.
No, hold on. He made spaghetti for me once. So there was that. And then my mom had she sold this VW square back. I got to think about that. She made spaghetti too once. So, you know, these are things. A value that we obviously have, and we pass back and forth.
It's not nothing. Spaghetti is something.
When my grandparents died, when my grandmother died, my sister and her husband at the time went in and cleared out all the cool stuff of their house. But I did get a Lucite or a glass cube. It's a glass cube that had like something in it. Like a paperweight, you know how you need paperweights these days.
Yeah.
Like, sitting at your office and a wind kicks up and you're like, wow, this thing's flying everywhere. Yeah, I got a cube. I got this glass cube. I don't know if it's worth as much as the watch. We're never going to find out because that thing ain't for sale.
Right. You know what I mean? You can't sell
it. Unless someone wants to give me $11, in which case I'll fucking bring it to your house. How about that?
I'll just build you a treehouse. I'm going to get that thing
free. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's see. We got questions. So there went the watch. And that's exciting, exciting news for us. Have no idea what it means, but it ain't a bad thing. That's for damn sure.
Way over your prediction, too, right?
Yeah, the predictions were, I think I had like 8.5 or something, 8.7 or something, something of that nature. You went a little higher.
I went 10, yeah.
You went 10. Max Pata went like a dollar more than yours or something, right?
That's right. Strategy. Yeah, you had 8.7, Adam.
Yes. Well,
I'm glad we were all wrong.
Mm-hmm. And me too. And also, the way I'm wired is I would never go $15 million and then go, one for 11. Like, I'd much rather just say, I'll call it 8.7 and pray it goes for twice that. And with the hammer, it went pretty much almost exactly half. I was pretty much at just the halfway point.
Yeah,
pretty much.
15.5 hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sorry, with the
the buyer's premium.
With the fees.
The premium is 12.5%.
There's a lot of fees, by the way.
Imagine the guy's got that watch, and he's walking around, and he's got some other blowhard at some cocktail party, and that guy's like, look at this. I got this Tag Heuer, this Rolex or whatever. And he's like, paid $1.5 million for it. And he goes, oh, that's cute. That's almost the commission on the watch I bought.
Yeah,
I know. That's sweet. So if I sold that watch, and then let's say, what'd you drive here, Bentley? Okay, if I sold the Bentley and the watch, I could almost get to the commission I paid for my watch.
If you give me four of those watches, I can pay the taxes on the watch that I just sold.
Right.
The other guy sold.
All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, I understand why some people may be put off by security systems. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Let's go with Simply Safe. Do it yourself these days, man. The people listening to this program don't mind rolling up their sleeves and getting to work. And you set up your own system. And it's easy. You don't even have to roll up your sleeves. You just order it online. You set it up. Comes to your house. Takes about an hour. Your family gets 24/7 protection. It is the batteries last up to 10 years. So if you're thinking about how's it work with no wires, no. Little batteries and last up to 10 years. Peel and stick, got the 3M sticky tape on there. You get 10% off at simplysafe.com/Adam3. Great sponsors, good company, been with us for a long time. Get the 10% off. Don't pull the wires. Get a break on your renter's insurance. simplysafe.com/Adam3, T-H-R-E-E. And save that money, or you can grab it over at your local Best Buy. But we'd like you to go online and get it and let them know you got it here at Adam 3 and save that 10%.
Now we need that all over the shop in the other room. Now the watch is really expensive. You got helmets and driving suits.
We need the Raptor.
We need the Raptor.
We need the Raptor. All right. Let's see. We got questions. We got other stuff. We got SEMA to talk about. What
SEMA,
do we got?
Yeah, SEMA was great, you know, except for your phone thing. It kind of put us in a debacle.
The phone thing was, there are many things in life I'll never really understand, and like the phone is kind of one of them. Like I realized, you guys tell me now if you think this is a problem. I realized where I went south with the phone. I went south with the phone because the town car that picked me up had the divider in the back seat where you can put the bottle of water pulled down. And the phone, if you set the phone down next to you or it falls out of your pocket or whatever, can slide under that because it has a gap. It doesn't sit right on the back seat. Right. It has a little space there. So when I got out of the car, and I always do what I always do, is I turn around and look and I scan, and it's all black interior and the phone's white, and I don't see it. I realize it slid.
Like the Murphy bed cup holders?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It slid under the Murphy bed cup holders in between.
Yeah.
So 4.5 minutes later, I'm passing through security, and I immediately realize, oh, I don't have my phone.
Yeah.
but I don't have any way to
call anybody. I don't even know people's phone numbers anymore.
And I'm on I'm on the other side of security. So I get to the other side of security, and I'm like, I don't have my phone. I don't know how to contact. I know it's in the backseat of the car. So I start kind of going through these scenarios like, well, the driver's going to see it, or his next fare's going to, he's not a cab driver, but the next client's going to get in the car, and they're going to see this phone sliding around in the back, and they're going to go, hey, I found the phone. Yeah. And then he's going to give it to his boss or drop it in the mail or whatever he's going to, FedEx or whatever, I'll pay him, whatever. I'm thinking to myself, I gave him a $20 tip, and I remember thinking, good, I'm glad I gave him a tip. Now he's going to be motivated to take care of me. And I got home, and it was Halloween, and I didn't have a phone at home either. I didn't have a landline at home. And Lynette.
How'd you get home?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that you made it that far.
Yeah, how'd you, like, did somebody pick you up? You didn't get an Uber. No phone, no Uber.
No, I parked my car.
Oh, okay.
In valet, because I was gone for 7 hours, 4 hours, or whatever it is. So I just got my car, drove home. Lynette, whose phone I probably would have used, was in New York, so she wasn't home.
Right, okay.
And then the kids had to go, trick-or-treating or whatever. And I sent an email to Matt and Matt, my assistant, and Matt sitting next to me at like 7:30 at night that said, phone's in the back of the car. Can you contact whoever and do whatever? And then I got up at like 8:30 in the morning. I checked my emails. I sort of half expecting a talk to the guy. He said he's going to FedEx it or whatever. And I didn't hear anything from Matt or Matt. So I was like, huh. So then I realized now, there's been a little time between the time I left the phone and the time this guy was driving the car. Like, I thought maybe we could catch him that night or something like that. I look back on it. It was Halloween night. I'm guessing people went out, had drinks, got to costume parties or did whatever. They weren't checking their emails, or maybe you thought Matt was going to do it. Matt thought you were going to do it or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't. So
there's nothing because your email said I left my phone in the car. I don't know the car service. I don't know the name. I didn't set up any of that. There was nothing we could do.
Somebody called you when I landed. That's why I thought you had that information. Like, when I landed at McCarran, I believe we spoke. I believe we did. Or maybe it was Fondalier. I thought you said the guy called or you called the guy, but the guy didn't answer his phone or something like that. There was some discussion of you trying to orchestrate this guy.
Yeah.
So I thought you had that information. Maybe Matt was at a party or something. Look, fine. So I get up next morning, it's like 8:30 and no phone stuff. So then I alert probably you and Matt again saying, what's going on? Now it's 9 the next morning. Matt gets on it, and Matt, they do the thing where it's like, yeah, I called. They said they're going to try to find the driver. They can't find him. Give him an hour.
Yeah, but Fondalier can also track your phone and lock it out. I didn't know.
He didn't know. I don't think he knew that. I certainly didn't. He didn't. Gary knew that, but Gary wasn't on the loop in the loop at that point.
Oh, okay.
So Matt evidently didn't have the track the phone, lock it out part, or maybe everyone should have told everyone to do everything. I didn't know I could do it. You could have told Matt to track it and lock it out. Maybe you know. I didn't know there was such a thing, or that Gary'd signed me up for the track and lock thing. Either way, couldn't get hold of the driver. They said, like, call back in an hour. Then, like, an hour and a half went by, and I sent a sort of email to Matt, like, saying, I don't know what's going on, but we need to fix this. So the fact that they do this go away move, but we can't go away. I don't have my phone. And I need to know, like, do we need to just go buy a new phone?
Right.
Figure what's going on.
Plus, like, your phone doesn't have a passcode on it. So, I mean, this guy had access to a lot of
different phone numbers. I would have just found it and just started calling Kimmel. I'd be like, hey, this is Adam. What are you doing? What are you wearing?
I didn't think it fell into nefarious hands. I was just like, somebody's not on the ball. Someone's not acting like, actually, nobody's acting like this guy doesn't have a phone. Everyone's kind of, when the driver wakes up, he'll check it out or whatever.
Tough loss, yeah.
And then the driver went out and looked, evidently, and the answer was no phone.
Right.
So that's, of course, the car service is, I don't know how people run businesses and stay afloat. Like, their thing was like, don't bother us. When I landed at the airport, they couldn't get hold of the driver. He couldn't get hold of them. Like,
there's a lot of calling that company and them not answering phones.
And that's also a lot of like, we can't get hold of the driver. Like, I don't know, as a car company who provides services, picking up rich people from the airport, maybe you might want to work on that modality where
you answer the phone.
Where you can talk to the people who drive the cars. Because now I'm just standing by baggage carousel 8, and I have no idea what's going on. But we don't know because you don't know because you can't contact the drivers. But anyway, he checked, no phone, go away. That's kind of the thing. And I was like, how is it that this phone was sitting in the back seat of this car? This guy went and checked. No phone. It didn't fall out on the sidewalk, and I didn't have it when I was in security, and I was talking on the phone when I got into the car. So it's in the car. How can it not be in the car? He left out one crucial fact, which is he leaves it with a cleaning service at night who cleans the car out, and that guy found the phone.
Yeah. They park the cars, and a guy comes in and works the graveyard shift. Cleans all the cars.
How does that not cross his mind? Like, that could be where...
Oh, okay, but also, if he goes, I checked the car, I don't have it, you know, call the office, see what they do, you know, whatever. Like, there's another step.
I have no... First off, I'm going to write a book called, when you were a kid, here's the title, when you were a kid, did you have any idea that adults would be this fucking stupid? Like, as a kid, like as a 9-year-old. Like, as a 9-year-old, if a dude drove a car or a dude ran a service or whatever, they just were that was the best there was. They were the best. That's what they were professionals. That's what they did. I had no idea that everyone was horrible, fucking horrible at their jobs. Like, I had no idea, like, just how bad everyone was. Like, the driver was like, hey, man. No phone. Anyway, I'm going back to bed. He doesn't think, well, you should contact the cleaning service. The guy cleaned the car out. You know, if a guy cleaned the car out at night and I mosey on over at 10:30 next morning, I see nothing in the back of the car, you may want to contact this dude.
Yeah.
He may have found something. But no, this the story is. So I get the report back of no phone. Driver says no, nothing in the car. So, of course, I'm now at this crossroads I now live at. I now live at this crossroads, which is I know what happened, and I'm getting a report that says something else happened, except for I know there's only one play here. The fucking phone was in the back of this guy's car. Now, where is it? I don't think that, you know, his second client, Thurston Howell V, sat down and went, oh, a free phone, lovey. All right, well, let's take, this is how we got rich. No, if any normal human, any client who could afford a town car, it was being picked up at the airport, the next person who slides in a car is going to find a phone and go, oh, hello, hey, driver, somebody must have left. Here you go. Here's the phone.
I already have 10 of them, yeah.
Here, yeah, right. Yeah, take this one. I got a 5 burner, so here, take this one. So I'm like, no, phone's got to be in there. And then, of course, Gary, who shows up late to the story, goes, well, why don't we just use our tracking device on it? I'm like, because I didn't know we had that, neither did, I guess, Matt or anybody else. And he just hits it. And, of course, the guy with the strongest accent in the world picks up the phone.
Yeah.
And he's just a guy cleaned out the car and took the phone home.
Yeah.
Can I say this? You know my theory. I got to get Gary. Gary spoke to the guy, right? Thick Middle Eastern dude.
I think is either Gary or Fondler. I'll find out.
Here's my theory. Go find out. My theory is this. I think people hide behind their accents. And here's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I met this guy.
Oh, you met this guy.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like...
He was Mexican. And he wasn't hiding.
Oh.
Okay. I read that wrong. He had an accent that was a little hard to pin down.
All right. But what I'm saying is like when we were in Canada and we did a show at the whatever arena and the town car never picked us up and then finally showed up an hour later where like me and Mike were just sitting outside of the arena like on the curb while everyone had left. And we're like, where were you? And he's like, I'm here. I've come to pick you up. And we're like, yeah, you're an hour late. Yes, it's good. Get in. Yeah, no, we've been waiting for an hour. No, I've been, I'm here and I circle. Yeah. No, we're sitting in front of the arena. Yes, come on, it's good. It's good. Come on, it's good. Now, if that's a white guy, like, hey, douche, what the fuck? This is bullshit. He couldn't go, yes, no, it's good. No, it's fine. You like it. You like this. Yeah. You know, like, and Mike's like, oh, no, we don't like it. This is bullshit. I come. I circle, not yet, so now I come. Now we're in the car. And they're like, no, no, you didn't circle. We sat here for an hour. You went to the fucking airport, made $80, and came back and left us on the fucking curb. But he's hiding behind his, it's okay, it's good, it's all right. And with the phone, I think you can kind of do the same thing where you go like, dude, why'd you take the phone? I'm, yes, I have phone. Yes, it's your phone. That's a gift to you. Yeah, I know, but why'd you take it back? Yes, here it is. Here's your phone. So what was it, Gary? Like, what do we think this guy did?
So what he communicated to me was that, and it was very, there was not a lot of information coming forth. It was exactly how you're describing it. But he told me, I tried to take to the place. There was no one there, so I take with me.
Right. Okay. Right, but there's nobody there. Like they don't have a mail slot or like there's
no one there.
So by the time we figured this all out, and finally, Eric calls me. He's like, "You've got to get the phone." We're like, "We're in the middle of SEMA. We're doing interviews back to back, and SEMA's not easy to get out of and catch a car and come back."
Right.
So we worked it out. It's like we call the guy. It's like, "Let's do your interview early. We'll do the next guy a few minutes late. It'll give me an hour to catch a lift." Out to this, the Lyft driver came, really nice guy, Jay, the Lyft driver, right? And it's like a computer programmer. And he pulls me up. Hi, I'm Jay. Where are you going? I type in the address. He goes, you want to go here? And it's a super shady in the ghetto strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I just need you to take me to the strip mall. I'm going to pop out for a second, get something, get back in. And he's like, I got you. I was like, no. It's a cell phone.
Coke,
it's a cell phone. Yeah. I go, it's just a cell phone. So we pull up to the strip mall and I'm like, it's unit 20 or something. And this is the address. And I'm on the phone back and forth with the fondelier. And he's like, that's the address. I'm like, we're here and we don't get it. So I start going into a couple of stores. I'm like, you know, one of them is like this really shady, like you walk up, the door's black and they buzz you in and people are like gambling in there. And I went around to the stores and I saw in that strip mall a used cell phone store. Mm-hmm. I was like, this has to be it. And I went in there and some woman's like, no. And I forgot what the guy's name was. And I was like, is this the guy? Martin or whatever.
Right.
It's like, is this him? Never heard of him. I'm like, we're out of time. We need to go back. We're going to be late. We're already late. You know? So we start driving away. Finally, there calls back and goes, I got the guy on the phone. And he goes, I said, what, why is he picking up now? He goes, because he works the night shift. He's been sleeping all day.
I can shed a little bit more light on this that you may not have gotten communicated to you. He woke up because this information was all going through a weird filter of Matt and then coming back to me. Adam's phone on the Find My iPhone thing, if you push play sound, it will start making a really loud, annoying sound that won't stop until you do something.
And then on your phone, it says, this phone's been lost. Call this number.
Right.
When you hit that button, which is the only thing you can do, it'll call whoever you said.
Exactly,
call you or Fondelier.
Which was my phone.
Okay.
And his phone presumably was on silent or on vibrate or something. But when we hit the thing on Adam's phone, it started playing a super loud thing. And then he got a... our attention, and then he called me and then Mac on the phone with him.
So now we're in the Lyft driver. We make a U-turn. We go back. I call the guy because I have his number now. And I said, I don't know where I'm going. And he's like, no, it's an apartment. Like, and I said, just meet us at a store. He's like, there's a dollar store, Dollar General.
They don't have some modality for when the guy cleans out the car every night and inevitably finds prescription glasses or sunglasses or wallet
every
or
night.
Phone.
That should happen, right?
Every night.
Every night.
Lipstick, whatever. That drunken couples getting in the back and being driven to a casino or something.
It's Vegas. Like, every night there's got to be a process.
There's no modality other than I take this shit home and take a nap. That's the dude. And by the way, if it's sunglasses, are you ever getting them back? Like, if it's something that doesn't animate, if it's a $50 chip, you don't get it back, right? Like, it's got to be something that lights up and makes a buzzing noise, right?
Look, okay. This guy lives 25 feet from a used cell phone store. My thought is he was going to make a couple of bucks, but he's like, I'll meet you at the dollar store. We roll up in the lift. I'm in the back. I crack the window down about 4 inches. I was like, you the guy? He's like, yeah. Slips me the phone. I slip him 20 bucks. And then I go, wait a minute. I was like, how'd you get this phone? And he goes, I clean the cars at night. And then I'm done early in the morning. And he goes, and I found the phone. And I went to the office. The office was closed. Nobody was in there. So I took the phone home.
How does that work? Does he not know the hours of the office? And does the office not have some protocol that if you find stuff in the back of the car and you want to return to the office, slide it through the mail slot or something? Like, they don't have their protocol is if we're not open, you just go home and take a nap. And never alert anyone to any of this. And if anyone calls and says, hey, I need my inhaler, we go, yeah, nothing.
Yeah, his schedule's on the off hours anyway. When he wakes up, that place will be closed again.
He had another guy with him. He had backup. He had that cell guy phone must protection
sell,
backup.
That guy must
Wait, the
sell
guy was taking
phones.
A nap 5 minutes ago, had a dude with him?
Yeah, he had backup. The guy was off to the back a little bit. And we rolled up in like a, I don't know, like an old Ford Fusion or something. And I say, all right, we got to go. We do the interview. I was like, I remember there's a FedEx location at the convention center. So let's do that. So we go back. We do a couple of the interviews. We've got time. I grab Chris. I'm like, we've got to make FedEx. Let's go over there. We're there at like 4:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, box this up, send it out. He's like, okay. He fusses around for a bit. Bunch of people. He comes back, 4:23. And he's like, picked it up already. FedEx guy's gone. It's like, it's 4:23. It's like, you got to be at least pick up at 5, right? Like, what's going on here?
Now, to be fair, we called a standalone FedEx location in Las Vegas, but it wasn't in the convention center.
That was
so 5:30. We called a different one.
That was my biggest fear was like, with all this fucking time wasting, we're not going to get it to the FedEx. We're not going to be able to overnight
We ran there.
No, I don't mean that. I mean all that. Like I sent an email out at 7:30 at night, and I woke up, and at 9 in the morning, there was nothing going on. There's no phone activity. So like for me, it's like, oh, we just wasted a bunch of time. But yeah.
So I was like, we just got to get the phone. That's the first step. As long as we have the phone, then we know it's not out there. So go to FedEx, and the guy's like, picked up already. I was like, why? He's like, I don't know. He's doing his rounds, picked up early, and he goes from here to wherever the FedEx place is. And I said, great. Find a store where the pickup is after 5. Types on his computer. None. I was like, okay. What about the airport? There's got to be a FedEx location at the airport where they pick up after 5. Like, I could drop the phone off at the airport. He's like, no, can't do it. I was like, in L.A., you could do that. Most regular towns, you can do that. You can find the big FedEx hub rolling at 7 and do it. He's like, no. I was like, you're telling me there's nothing. And then I went on my phone and Googled it. There was no other FedEx office.
Well,
I was like, what the hell?
You tried. For me, it was like, yo, get it Friday morning. And this was Wednesday. And I was like, what? I can't overnight it from Vegas? Like, you could.
That's what I asked the guy.
It seems insane. You could get it from Chicago or New York or Nova Scotia overnight.
I should have just drove it down. I knew it.
Well, anyway.
Oh, God, then there was this thing where the guy's like, you can have it Friday morning. I was like, okay, but I'm catching a flight back Friday afternoon. So just FedEx it.
It saved me. It was a good thing. I mean, not the extra couple days, but when New York. Lynette was in New York when the terrorist got in the Home Depot mobile and jumped up on the sidewalk. And she's like, how come nobody checked on me? And I'm like, it's a chick thing, right? Because I never think statistically you were amongst the, especially when 5 of them were like Argentinian soccer players or something. Like that only leaves 3 bodies to be accounted for. Yeah. She's like, yeah, well, you hadn't. What if I was run over by the truck? And I was like, I had the greatest out ever. I was like, I didn't have a phone.
Didn't have a phone.
I was at SEMA, and then the phone was gone, and I could never I could never check with
fucking
you.
Fucking DeAndrea missed FedEx. That's what happened.
All right. Either way, the phone's back now, and I don't know what goes on with people. I'm assuming.
Look, next time, you remote lock the phone, wipe it, go buy another phone.
Yeah. From now on, you just got to, I think you got to know that when something goes wrong with that phone, you got to CC me.
Just get rid of it. You can go to the store and buy another phone. Sure, it's a few hundred bucks.
I didn't know that Matt didn't. I thought whatever Matt knew Matt would know as much as you knew. I didn't know.
When it comes to the tech, you can't. I don't think you can assume that.
I don't even see my. No, I know. No, not. Not that he knows as much as you, but did he know whatever was performed? Like this thing was outfitted with this or that. I didn't even know that that kind of crazy technology even existed. So I should have known. But anyway, look, I shouldn't have left it in the back of the car. It's ultimately my fault. I got the travel sweat jacket with too many pockets. And the backpack with too many pockets, and I'm constantly feeling like I've got something in some pocket zipped away
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I checked that backpack when I got to the through security at McCarran. I checked that backpack 29 times because there's 55 pockets in it. And I told you, I had a situation where I had a thing of jerky in that thing, and I checked it on in Minneapolis at night. I checked the bag 5 times. It was like, the jerky's gone. And like the next day I was packing and to unzip something, it's like jerky falls out. Like it's like, it's a secret.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a sorcerer's backpack. It's a secret sorcerer's backpack. Well, all right. Speaking of lean protein and things that are good for you, how about Onnit, man? You've heard me talk about Onnit before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain. How about the Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars? How about the MCT oil? I've had that stuff, man. I take a swig of that stuff before I leave the house every day. It's good stuff. Onnit, CEO Aubrey Marcus. He did a take a knee. We talked about what it was like going from college athlete to running a multi-million dollar brand, health brand, and the dreams. When to abandon the dreams. You guys can listen to a little clip from that show. What I'm trying to say to people, because we always do this, hey, you got to follow those dreams and you got to hang on to them. You got to shoot for the stars. You got to hang on to those dreams. Like I'm saying, no, you don't abandon those things. Just like you did in basketball, just like I did, believe it or not, in football, just like so many other, just like my son will do one day, he will abandon his dreams. They filmed the whole thing. You can watch the entire podcast. And behind the scenes, a little mini doc free at onnit.com/Adam. Great company, great supplements, and they have everything over there. Just go to onnit.com/Adam. Save 10% on your entire order. Get that MCT oil. Drew loves that stuff, and you can watch the Take a Knee episode free. Go to onnit.com/Adam, man. That's O-N-N-I-T. I like that your Uber driver stopped for gas on the way to the airport.
Oh, my God. That was so – what a tard.
Jeez.
Like, I'm like, we're going to the airport. You understand that, right? Like, this isn't like drop me off at IKEA so I can walk around for 9 hours. Like, the one place you're going to, that's 5 miles away, and he's pulling in. As he's pulling in, he's like, we got to stop for gas. I was like, I'm going to the airport. Do we really have to? He looks down and he goes, yes. And I was like, fine, fucking do it.
Did he know? He knew he was taking you to the airport. Before he picked you up, right?
Yes. I put in the address. It's airport.
Oh, my God. How bad is everyone at their job? Like,
I don't think that even matters whether he knows or not.
It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter, but it makes it more of an insult.
It makes it worse.
How about don't pick me up? How about pass it on to the next guy? Go stop for gas, and 3 minutes later, you can go and pick up the next guy.
I was talking to Matt, and Matt, I said... I knew he was heading to SEMA. I was going to meet him and Chris out there the next day, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, you had like a noon flight. And it was like 11:10. And I was like, where are you? And
my flight's
like,
at 11:50.
11:50, and it was like 11:05. And he's like, I'm at the shop. And I'm like, you better get going, man. I mean, you're supposed to be there an hour early or whatever. I didn't know you were flying Jet Suite X or whatever it is. But I was like, you got to get going. And so he's like, yeah, I called the Uber. It's going to pick me up. And I was like, yeah, I'm the guy who cuts it close. Like, I'm the guy. Yeah. My basic thing is if I have a noon Southwest flight out of Burbank, we leave here at 11. And that's like, for most people, that's cutting it a little close. But you had an 11:50 flight, and at 11:11, you were still hanging here.
Yeah, you were on the phone with me.
I was on the phone. I was like, you better get going. And then he's like, yeah, the Uber showed up. And then I hear Matt going, while he's talking to me and talking to the Uber guy, just hear him like 4 minutes later go, And I'm worried a little for Matt. Like, I'm like, that Uber better show up. You better get going. And then I hear him go, well, do you have to? And then he's like, I guess if you have to. I mean, and then I'm like, what's going on? He's running late for his flight. He's like, he's getting gas. And I got a lot of anxiety for you. And speaking of anxiety, if you guys would like to really experience a modern day anxiety, I had a thing where the car, I got in my car on that on the Friday when my phone was finally coming back to me. And I had done that thing where I know I live about 11 miles away from the shop. And the mileage thing said I had about 11 miles left.
Yeah.
And I was like, these things can go a little bit on zero. But this is a brand new car. Maybe they figured it out where zero means zero.
Yeah.
You know, like no means no now. And here's anxiety. I'm driving from my house. I am sitting in traffic on the 134 coming here when that thing goes to zero and I have no cell phone. So now I'm sitting in traffic in this Jag and I'm looking at zero mileage left. And I got to get from the 134 to the 5 and get off the whatever exit. I got about 2 miles, 2.5 miles to go. Yeah. But I'm looking at zero. But the no cell phone part, that's the part that's causing
that's
the crazy.
That makes you sweat.
Now, the cell phone is waiting for me if I can get to my destination, which is here.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, if this thing just dies, what is my move? Like, start walking? Like, what? Because that's you don't realize that cell phone is such a security blanket. No,
you could walk to a place that has a phone, but who are you going to call? I don't remember any phone numbers anymore.
Right, and what would you call, and who would you? Whatever. Yeah. But yes, the modern day anxiety is the mileage on zero and the no cell phone on you.
All the cars now they have that distance to empty calculator. But the only time you really care to use it is when you have like 1 mile left and it just flashes. It just flashes dashes at you. I'm like, I only need to know the last couple of miles. And that's when it's like, we can't estimate that much. Like,
right. So, you know? Yes, I'm not. Yeah. Because when you have 287,000 on your range, no one's thinking, well, I work 11 miles away, so that'll be 267 or 280. To 272, like nobody cares. You only pay attention for the last 5 miles on that thing. And I've now bottomed out two cars. I put them both on zero. And
I'm surprised it says, does it say zero?
It says zero.
Oh, that's
it says
good.
Zero.
Oh,
mine Jags says zero. And I had a Lexus that said zero. And the Lexus, I drove around for about 8 miles on zero. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if it'd be worth it, but it would be worth it to get that thing down to zero, throw a can of gas in the trunk, and literally just circle your house until that thing ran out.
Like,
I'm curious now because I want to know. Like,
that sounds like a nice Thursday for you,
Gary. When that thing hits zero.
To be fair, I was 16 and a half, and I had nothing but time on my hands and was just obsessed with driving.
The idea that you had a car that even had that at 16 and a half. Yeah, I bet a stick for a gas gauge when I was 16 and a half. Oh, and I didn't have a car. So what did you find out? How BMW?
No, the Jeep. It was 17 miles.
Wow.
It's pretty far.
Yeah.
Straight and, six?
No, it was a V8. It was a 4.7 liter V8, but,
was it a Cherokee?
It was a Grand Cherokee.
Oh, Grand Cherokee.
A baller at 16.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's a sweet ride.
I was very spoiled.
No kidding.
But yeah, 17 miles, and it forever changed my relationship with that gas gauge because I would, and you know, it would freak my friends out and stuff, but like, I knew I had at least 15 miles.
Well, right. If you're a little experiment, yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
He probably had a cell phone on him, though.
He probably had a cell phone on him. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I had a cell phone, for sure.
For sure, man.
That's how I want to get my thrills. Forget skydiving. I want to get my friend on the 134, no cell
phone. You could go free climbing, or you could get behind the wheel of that Jag, zero it out, leave your cell phone in Vegas, and just get boxed in on the 5. See how you feel, man.
Yeah.
Just stared at that thing. Let me tell you about Fresh and Lean, man. Oh, man, you want to perform your best physically and mentally. You got to give your bodies the best fuel. We're just talking about that. Don't zero it out with bad fuel, like we were saying. Fresh and Lean. It's a healthy meal delivery service established in 2010, making meals to order from scratch with organic ingredients. The meals are packaged in vacuum-sealed trays, delivered in a refrigerated box anywhere in the U.S. No prep, no shopping, no cooking, no cleanup, no nothing. You take the meals anywhere in a freezable lunch bag, and you get good nutrients. And you can get 15% off meal plans. Just check it out. You go to Fresh and Lean, fresh, and it's got the letter N, freshandlean.com/CarCast. Use a promo code CarCast, save the money, and then tweet me. Tell me how much you love Fresh and Lean. Freshandlean.com/CarCast. Use a promo code CarCast and get the 15% off of the meals. You went out at SEMA. What impressed you at SEMA?
You know, first of all, if you haven't listened to it already, Chris posted several shows. We had three shows from last week, our Optima thing, and then 2 days of just interviews going booth to booth. We sat down with Ring Brothers and John Hotchkiss and guys from Height Suspension and Brembo, which is always a fun interview with those guys. There was a Porsche in the, I think, McGuire's booth, the Gunther Porsche. It was like a 95 air-cooled Porsche, but done up to almost like Singer style. That mm-hmm. was amazing. Ring Brothers always crush it. We went over and got a chance to look at their Javelin that they made, their which is way over the top.
Oh, they unveiled that, yeah.
Yeah, it was like for a press tone, and that thing was cool. Probably the standout car, if you're going to win SEMA this year, it was Rob Ida's Tucker. Completely hand-built from
scratch. Did he win in that car?
I don't know what he won, but like for me, if you're going to win SEMA, that's the car. That car was so cool, and it's a weird thing where, you know, he didn't start with a Tucker. He had to rebuild everything from scratch. Everything on that thing is just hand-built fresh and new, and it was amazing. He did such a crazy job, and you went over and we got a little tour of the car. He has a Cadillac engine in it, and he put twin turbos on it, and he did a rear mid mount.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a front-wheel drive Cadillac engine, but moved to the back.
Crazy.
And just everything he had, he'd make the transmission work. It was cool seeing that. And I think what I liked about it was, you know, Porsches and things like that have been showing up at SEMA for years, but they're always like in the wheels and tire booth. It's like somebody rolls out a cool Porsche or a Ferrari, they slap wheels and tires on it, and they put it out in South Hall.
Right.
But now we're starting to see Porsches and Datsuns and like now this coach-built Tucker start making it into Central Hall, where all the real custom builds are happening.
Yeah. We're definitely seeing more interesting platforms other than just, you know, Boss Mustangs and, you know, late 60s Camaros.
Four or five, like 240Zs, and Troy Ermish brought an amazing 510 out there, one that he built.
Yeah, you sent a few pictures of it to me.
And he won, like, top 10 import car of SEMA or something like that, or he was in one of the top 10 of that award.
Yeah, I think you and I always have the same feeling. It's kind of like the difference in terms of programming, in terms of NASCAR, and then guys with tattoos on top of their hands arguing in a shop. Like, there's so much more out there that's so much more interesting. Could we see some more of that? Could we see some more interesting builds and interesting platforms, and less with the, you know, start off life as a Boss Mustang, and then we did a LS crate engine swap, whatever. It's like, just stop it. Let's do some more interesting things with more interesting platforms.
And check out this BMW. It's on my Instagram, Chris. It looks like a Batmobile kind of BMW on my Instagram. I made a post, like two or three images of that. You guys can go to look up Motorator on Instagram. And
they had a BMW Batmobile?
But look at this.
My God.
And then there's a...
They did it in a gray. Yeah.
I don't know if there's more. There's probably two, three images. I don't know if you can click.
How come you didn't send me that one? That's cool. So it's
I went back on Friday, the next day, and got pictures when I was walking through.
It's done up like a Group 5.
Yeah.
It's big, big wings, big early 70s, 3.0, 3.5, but it's got the big wings. It had center lock. Now that.
That's
and
cool,
it's got
right?
a big modern straight 6, which it had, but the modern engine with turbo on it and stuff. Now, see, my feeling is, back in the day, you could go to carcastshow.com and take a look at these things. I could see a few more pictures of that car if you got it. My feeling is, back in the day, perfect example of a car of a much more interesting platform to jump off of than a fastback Mustang. Back in the day, you tell me if this sounds inaccurate. If you built that car, and you don't build that car for a penny under $1.50, $1.75, like just you just can't.
Yeah,
right?
Done to that quality.
Done to that quality with all that innovation, whatever, turbo, everything else. You build that car 10 years ago, you put $1.50, $200 into it, and you expect to get 60 to 80 out of it if it went at auction or whatever.
Right.
I think now, if you do a job and a really good job on a car like that, and you put $1.75 into it, you could get $250 to $300 out of it if it sold it. You know,
I think we're definitely getting there. I think guys like Ring Brothers moved a few cars at Barrett-Jackson, pulled some pretty decent money. We're starting to see some of the Boyd Coddington cars from back in the day becoming valuable again and moving at some of the auctions. And now, look at the quality of these cars that are showing up at SEMA.
Unbelievable.
These things are insane, right? So to me, they're worth pretty good money.
It's a very interesting thing. Is take any 3-liter, BMW tub, put the full kit on it, and then just do the whole 9 yards. Did you take any pictures of the inside of the car?
I don't think I did. I think I just got.
But it's crazy.
Maybe the three. Maybe on my bigger gallery, my Facebook
beautiful
page,
looking but, car. And an interesting choice to paint it that sort of blue gray and not the whole BMW.
It almost had kind
color.
Of like a mint to it, but I don't remember if that was the actual color or we were under a blue tent because it was outside in like this Toyo hall. Mm-hmm. And but I think it had
those
like pictures
the BBS with the center locks on there.
Yeah, so that was a cool car too that really stood out. And the point is that we got to walk around a little bit before catching the flight and take another 30 or 40 photos and seeing more variety of make and model.
All right, give a little love to Geico.
So everybody's got a to-do list. You can not lose your iPhone, you can not miss FedEx, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Which is great. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. If you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
Yeah, man. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com, Levity Live, doing a live podcast this Sunday, November 12th, and then the Ice House, November 21st. And go to Corolla Drinks and check out all the stuff and say hi. Brooklyn, New York, me and Dennis Prager, November 29th. Go to chassis.com, see all the new movies and things we have on there. Shift and Steer, listen to Matt's podcast as well. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.